All right, good afternoon. I'm David Daughtry. I'm from the University of Georgia, studying under Dr. Wesley Porter. And today I'm going to be presenting on using unmanned aerial systems to collect mid-season multispectral data for estimation of plant nitrogen status in cotton. Upland cotton is the most widely grown crop in the state of Georgia. This last year we had over 500,000 hectares, which is about a little over 1.3 million acres. So it's a significant crop in the state of Georgia. And the nitrogen requirements change throughout the growth and development of cotton. Therefore, it's most efficient to supply only the amount of nitrogen that that cotton plant needs for that particular stage. Being that it's an indeterminate crop, we want to mitigate excessive vegetative growth and balance it with reproductive growth. Cotton yield can vary spatially in a field, and often that's a function of soil properties and nutrient availability, especially nitrogen. Detecting that variability, however, by ground-based methods has some limitations. The hypothesis for this study is nitrogen fertilizer applications at varying rates will provide relative levels of leaf and petiole tissue nitrogen content that will correlate with UAS-based multispectral data. Some of the objectives of this study were to track the changes of plant tissue nitrogen during the season by the in-rate treatments, and then also to determine the correlations between popular vegetative indices and the nitrogen content of leaf and petiole tissue during very critical nitrogen uptake growth stages. To determine the optimal timing for collecting multispectral data for making in-season fertility decisions. For the trial layout, we're located at the RDC pivot in Tifton, Georgia. We planted on 4-row plots, and we applied 6 rates of nitrogen beginning at 0 kilogram per hectare all the way up to 168 kilogram per hectare. Leaf blade and petiole tissue samples were taken at 5 cotton growth stages. Those growth stages were at first square, the first week of bloom, the third week of bloom, the fifth week of bloom, and the seventh week of bloom. We'll see some of that here in the graphs following. On the left, you can see a picture of me sampling there. We're sampling the most recently matured leaf. And multispectral data were collected during each week of tissue sampling. Lint yield was calculated from lint turnout, so we calculate our yields in that method. For our UAV data collection, we used a 3D Arcelo. That was the platform that we used. On that platform, we had the MicaSense Parrot Sequoia. At the bottom, you can see that it captures imagery within the green, red, near-infrared, and red edge bands. There is a RGB camera on there as well. However, that was not used in this study. We used Tower, which was a free Android software for the flight automation process. And then we calibrated our sensor before and after each flight. That helps with mitigating errors based on atmospheric conditions changing and lighting conditions changing, utilizing what you can see on the bottom left at the top of the UAV, the sunshine sensor, and the calibration panels in the right picture that you see me taking images over. We always flew within plus or minus 2.5 hours of local solar noon, so they have best angle of sunlight for capturing UAV data, for multispectral data. For the data analysis portion in our methods, we used PIX4D and both Agisoft to create the orthomosaic. However, today I'm only going to share the PIX4D data just because it's more relative. And we imported that multispectral data after we exported it from PIX4D into ArcGIS. Begin the season, I would draw polygons over the plot areas, align those, and I would copy each. I would draw one polygon and copy it over so every polygon has the exact same size. I would label that in the table attributes and then run the raster calculators for the particular indices we were looking at. And then I export that data after I use zonal statistics as table for each index. And we would move it into another software to further analyze it. Okay, let's get into some 2017 results and look at first some tissue data. So this is our 2017 leaf blade nitrogen content. If you look on the y-axis, this is represented in percentage, leaf end percentage. Okay, at the bottom we have some dates, and I've labeled each sampling date on the graph so you can kind of keep it straight in your mind as to which sampling date it was. So if we look at the first square, there wasn't a lot of differences in terms of the nitrogen rates causing a response in leaf nitrogen percentage. However, if we look at the first week of bloom, you can see that the lowest nitrogen rate provided the lowest percentage of leaf in, and the highest rate provided the highest percentage of leaf in, and each of them were sequentially following, starting from zero all the way up to 168. Now let's look at some petiole nitrogen contents. Again, this is a very similar graph here. However, I want to point out on the y-axis, this is represented in parts per million. And we do not have a first square sampling date for the 2017 data. This was because at the time we weren't comfortable with the amount of petioles that we had, thinking that they would be a representative sample for those cotton plots. So we began at the first week of bloom when those petioles were a little bit larger. Again, we see the same trend, that our lowest nitrogen rate provide the lowest part per million of nitrogen content in the petiole. Likewise, the highest nitrogen rate provided the highest content. Okay, that separation declined as the cotton matured throughout the season, just as it did in the leaf blade end percentage. So we were getting response based on fertilizer rate and leaf and petiole nitrogen content. We saw a similar response in the yield. That as we increased our nitrogen rate, we saw an increase in yield up to a certain point, and it kind of leveled off. So it showed that, or suggested that our nitrogen rates were a factor in determining what that yield was going to be. So let's fast forward to some correlations. So I used NDVI here and NDRE. These are the two that I selected for this. And if this is the correlation over time. So if we look at the first square sampling date, we had lower correlation. Again, the nitrogen leaf and petiole samples did not show as much response to the fertilizer there. And so as they separated out close to the first week of bloom, we started getting a stronger correlation. The University of Georgia recommends that side dress applications of nitrogen go out between first square and first week of bloom. However, the latest we can go for ground-based applications of nitrogen to benefit in terms of yield is up to the fifth week of bloom. So at the first week of bloom, we have a little bit stronger correlation with NDVI and a little bit less of a correlation with NDRE. However, the third week of bloom, we see that NDRE gets slightly above NDVI and carries that trend on through the rest of the sampling. All right, we look at petiole end correlation over time. Again, we do not have the first square sampling date here because of the reasons I stated earlier. But if we look at the first week of bloom, similar thing here. NDVI is slightly more correlated to the nitrogen content than NDRE is. However, at the third week of bloom, NDRE is a little stronger of a correlation than the NDVI is. And that carries out through the rest of the season. Okay, let's go on to some 2018 results. This is one of these types of situations where, as a student, you're able to look at things. And at first, when I saw this data, I began to panic a little bit because it didn't turn out as the 2017 data did. So we're still going to analyze this a little more, but let's look at some of this leaf blade nitrogen content here. At the first square sampling date, we see a very similar trend to what we saw in 2017, that our lowest nitrogen rate provided the lowest leaf blade end percentage, and our highest nitrogen rate provided the highest leaf blade end percentage. And they followed up sequentially, starting the lowest up to the highest. But at the first week of bloom, they began to do what we did not predict they were going to do. And some of the lower rates provided a higher nitrogen percentage, and some of the higher rates provided a little bit lower than other rate in terms of nitrogen percentage. And that stayed jumbled up more or less for the rest of that season. Okay, again, that's leaf blade end percentage. Let's look at the petiole end. Again, at the first square sampling date, it almost worked out as we would expect. However, the 101 kilogram per hectare rate, which is in yellow with an X, was slightly lower than the 67 kilogram per hectare rate. And so, again, something was going on in the field that we're not really sure happened for the 2018 year. And so let's look at lint yield to see if, okay, our tissue data didn't show any nitrogen response that we expected it to. If we look at the lint yield, similar thing there, that if you look at the rates once they left beyond between 60 and 180, our yields were essentially the same. And so we didn't get a response from nitrogen. There was some other limiting factor in the field, which kind of caused a bit of a problem for us to repeat this study this year. So like I said, that was a teachable moment for me to kind of realize that things don't always work out as they should, or we expect them to. And so we're going to continue to analyze this data to see what we can tinge out of it. So in conclusion, based on the 2017 data, leaf and petiole tissue sample end results have shown to have the strongest potential of determining the plant nitrogen deficiencies during the first week of bloom. Again, that was right in that window of time that we had that we're able to make a side dress application. Preliminary analyses of multispectral data show varying levels of nitrogen in the tissue provide a stronger correlation to NDVI beginning at the first week of bloom. And following that, NDRE has a stronger correlation beginning at the third week of bloom. The 2018 data had little to no statistical difference in yield, which suggests that nitrogen treatments had little effect on the final yield. Future research, this study will be conducted again in 2019. Additionally, this 2017 data and also the 2018 data, we're going to continue to run more analyses on those, add some other vegetative indices to those, and look at different correlations, and further dig into this data to try to see what we can learn from this. And also look at it as a, is it feasible to use this technology to predict or to help aid nitrogen side dress application decisions. With that being said, I want to make some acknowledgments. My major professor, Dr. Wesley Porter, for allowing me to study under him and to help grow me into a young professional. Dr. Glenn Harris, he's our soils and fertility specialist. He's kind of a co-advisor for me. I worked under him for 4 years as a student worker. All of his help, Dr. John Snyder, our physiologist, Dr. Reagan Nolan, and Simranjit Virk, our research engineer that helped me with the UAV stuff and also some processing things, and all of our student workers that went out many days with me to spread fertilizer and take tissue samples and dry and grind those. My email is at the bottom if you'd like to get in touch with me. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Okay. The question was, right. So the question was, is how does UAV data compare to, if I understood you correctly, to some of the ground-based methods for, that's right. We have not directly tested the UAV, our UAV data with the ground-based, are you speaking of sensors? Okay, right. Okay, so literature has shown that the NDVI and NDRE, which NDRE typically in some literature is shown to be more strongly correlated with nitrogen content, whereas NDVI is a biomass sensitive, a health sensitive index. It does follow along with that pretty well. There's been some research that has recently come out that used similar platforms that provided similar results. Any other questions? All right. Thank you for thank you.